All right, you're back in the DFSR. It's an NBA podcast. It's Friday. It's January 18th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
He's cracking himself off a microphone here, but we'll keep moving on and see if we can work through it. DailyFantasySportsRankings.com is the site. DFSR.com. For short, head on over to the site and grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system, powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. Optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, NBA, NFL, while it's still going on. For one more week at least with a 2-game slate, NHL, which we've had a lot of success with, all covered in the same subscription package. So go check it out. DFSR.com/deals will get you started. Got a Friday in the NBA, buddy. It does not, I got to say, at first glance, one, these Thursday slates are getting, it seems like the NBA slates are just starting to even themselves out a little bit more. Like a few more games on Thursday, a few less games on Friday. Do you like when there's do you like it when it's like a little more spread out like this, or do you? You know, like, can you sink your teeth more into like a 4-game Thursday slate and then like, you know, 12 games on Friday? Like it usually is. That's really not the case tonight.
I like the shorter Thursday slates just because I do the write-ups on Wednesday night and that means less work for me. So gotcha. For that reason, I don't really appreciate it very much. Mm-hmm. But from a DFS perspective, yeah, medium slates are just, I feel like, the best ones because the short slates, you know, you can usually walk yourself into a decent lineup, but there's oftentimes not enough value to really play real players at every position. The two big slates, meanwhile, can have the opposite problem where there are too many good value plays, just given how aggressively people will sit their players these days. And yeah, I don't really like that either because it seems like it just gets random at that point. Like, do you have the right 30% punts when people are deciding between $3,500 point guards or whatever? And I just as soon, yeah, hit the middle ground, I think.
I will say this slate is it's pretty unexciting. I usually don't go into an 8-game Friday kind of schedule of games thinking this, and I really struggled to write up an entire article worth of what I would consider to be value plays for this one. And as evidenced by, it's 9:30, and I still haven't posted the article yet because. But one of the reasons was just going through some of these positions. It does feel like you're sort of stuck on. It feels a little bit stuck on either some bad matchups or some weird minutes, and also from a points per dollar perspective. And we'll go through each of these games, but you know, right now we don't have a single point guard on FanDuel with over five. I'm going to use a watermark of 5 points per dollar, something like that. And there's not a single guy that's over that mark, at least at point guard. There's only two guys at shooting guard, one at small forward, four at power forward, and then two at center. I mean, I'm saying that because that just means, and this is probably why, you know, struggling to like just kind of pick out who some of these guys are, because it just, those numbers, usually you use those as thresholds to even just start considering a play, you know, 5 points per dollar, something like that, you know, times 1,000, whatever, if you want to do the math. But the fact that there's so few is going to mean probably some ugly looking lineups. And the good news is that everyone's dealing with sort of the same issues, you know, and everyone's using the same pricing and player pool and projections, or not projections, but at least the same pricing and stuff. So I think I can envision a scenario where making lineups tonight does feel a little weird. And we'll start off with, we'll start off with teams like this, like Miami and Detroit. So they play at 7. It's a 207.5 over under, which unbelievably isn't the lowest of tonight. We'll get to that one in a second. But, you know, so they're not even cracking the 210 mark. We have a team with Miami. I mean, you've had the audit of this team in the past. I've done it. Good luck. Good luck figuring out what their plan is on a given night basis. Like, their own players don't even know. Like, Deion Waiters is like, why am I not playing? I play 25 minutes and I don't play at all. Like, he even complains about it. Like, I was glad to see that complaint from Waiters because it at least confirmed that it's not just me in the crazy house with Miami's minutes, right? Like, even they don't know on a given game going in who is going to play. And if it's a guy, because you only get that if a guy's complaining. Anything to like here? I mean, I guess Blake and Drummond are always considerations for Detroit. The game seems like it's going to be really slow. Not a great game to start off with, but any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I mean, Miami, unless there's multiple players out, I'm just not considering Miami guys.
They need like four guys out. I mean, yeah. Well, not even multiple. Like, not even two guys isn't enough for me.
And those guys need to just kind of play the same position, too, because it doesn't matter if you've got like, oh, no Kelly Olynyk. Doesn't matter. Like, we'll just find some way to not give James Johnson the minutes or whatever, right? So,
right.
Yeah, you need multiple guys from the same position to consider it. And tonight we don't have that, so I think they're pretty much a fast/hard skip. Detroit's another funny one because they do have a few guys that play relatively secure minutes. Drummond's minutes have actually been ticked up recently, yes. Which I'm sure you've noticed. The price has ticked up too, even though the performance hasn't been there. can we see investing, you know, near peak prices? It's not quite the peak, but near peak prices on Drummond, given that it sure looks like the plan is like 35 to 40 minutes sometimes right now.
Well, yeah, one thing to remember, it's not, sometimes it's hard to see that this 38 minute game, the last one was an overtime game. Like, so it was only 33 minutes in regulation for him. And, you know, I just don't think, I don't want to go 34. I just can't in good conscience go with like 34 or 35 minutes consistently on Drummond, because I just don't think. And then he got there. He had 22 rebounds in that game. They had, again, the five extra minutes, 14 and 22.
I mean, he played. I point this out because he played 42 minutes against the Clippers in regulation.
100%. 100%. I get that. I get that it happens. What I'm saying is, I don't think the plan is to. It doesn't strike. I think 33 to 34 minutes is like is mostly the plan with him. I don't want to go take, because he's a guy, right? Like the price usually, you know, especially on DraftKings places like this, it'll drop enough that. At 34, yeah, he's 8,400 on DraftKings. Like, that is a pretty cheap number. And if you and I have him at 34 minutes right now and a pretty good points per dollar play. If you think 35, 36 minutes is the case, then he would just be in every single lineup. But I just don't feel comfortable. I just don't feel comfortable with that. I think that's where I kind of land. That's where I kind of land with Drummond. And the rest of the team, just forget it with these guys. Like, Blake is fine. Blake's fine. The rebounding comes and goes. Reggie Jackson, Reggie Bullock's, Bruce Brown to the world, forget it. Luke Kennard will come in off the bench every once in a while.
I assume that Blake is not fine, by the way, because he's just too expensive. And this is another recurring theme of this season. $9,800 for a guy whose role has been this exact same all season, who scores 43 fantasy points a game. Like, if you're out there in DFS land, totally ignore whatever's happened in the last four games, unless there's something fundamental that has happened that should change a guy's performance. This goes both ways, by the way. So if you see a guy who's $1,000 cheaper based on a four-game run of him scoring, I don't know, 25 fantasy points, also ignore that. Like, I don't get why Blake has to be $9,800. Because is it because he's played a few extra minutes recently? Like, I don't really know. But I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole in a Miami matchup at $9,800.
I really just, yeah, I just hate everything about both these teams from a fantasy perspective. especially Miami, but the Detroit thing, they're just bad. I was wrong about that. I made two sort of judgment calls about teams I thought were going to be much improved this season. One was Milwaukee, but the other was Detroit. So one for one.
It looked good early, though. I don't know.
I mean, the season's not over, but they're brutal to watch. Anyway, let's move on. Memphis goes in and plays Boston. Boston's 10.5-point favorites here against a Memphis team that is just really going in the wrong direction. They've had some injuries. They have some guys that just don't even look. They just kind of don't look right at all. And I guess we're trending toward possible blowout range here with the 10.5. Yeah, Memphis has lost. Oh my gosh, I just didn't even realize this. They've lost 9 of their last 10, something like that.
Not good.
Not scoring any points. Really not sustaining much in the way of anybody from a fantasy perspective. And then you get Boston, who's getting kind of fully healthy now. Baines is back. Horford's back. It looks like he's playing, trending toward minutes. It looks like, you know, Kyrie's back playing minutes. What do we do here? Our system does kind of want to call out, like, the Marcus Morrises of the world. Mostly because, like, there's just so few options tonight, especially on FanDuel, power forward. Could you see playing some Celtics here? Horford, too. Like, Horford's still coming pretty cheap on both sides. What are your thoughts here on Boston? I'm going to skip Memphis because I just don't see anything, unless there's like there's big injury news, which there's not going to be really for Memphis.
The only guy that's been getting any DFS run recently is Justin Holiday. He was actually something of a chalk option against Milwaukee, and that it's actually super irritating that it didn't work out for those people, because Justin Holiday pumped out 5 defensive stats in the 16 minutes he was on the floor.
It's so stupid. He was such a bad play. I was saying this in chat before. I was like, I this position for the Grizzlies doesn't do anything. I get that he had
Wayne Seldon. Agreed.
Kyle Anderson, like, these guys, like, you know, he's taking over that Kyle Anderson role. This position just doesn't have a role in their offense at all. They're there to, like, just occasionally shoot a very, very wide open three, and that's it. Like, and they need to be very wide open. He took 4 shots in 17 minutes. He didn't play, and he gets 15 points worth of freaking, I almost want to curse, freaking defensive stats, and it's such a joke that worked out, because that was just not a good play. I have no interest in playing him. But what about these Boston guys? Like, Horford and Morris? It seems like they'll have to go a little bit bigger against Memphis. Could you stomach any of these guys in what's still a very slow matchup?
I don't think I'm interested in Morris, kind of for the same reason that you're not interested in Holiday, and that the plan just doesn't seem, even when he's out there, the plan doesn't really seem to be to flow anything through him necessarily, and he just doesn't really do enough around scoring anyway to be a viable fantasy option on most nights. I guess, like, again, if you just are down to the last 3 guys at power forward and he's in your lineup, I think he will play some minutes, but I'm not enthusiastic about it at all. Horford, I do think, is interesting. I guess, like, the real question is, what's the plan minutes-wise for him? We talked about potentially playing him going into the Toronto game. I think he ultimately landed just outside of our cash games, but he played a season-high 33 minutes in that game and was really effective. You know, scored 24 points from the field, 7 rebounds, chipped in a couple blocks as well, finished basically 6x points per dollar on this price. And I think if you can count on him for 31 to 33 minutes, I've said it before, but he will be a $7,000 player. The real question is, can you count on him? And again, is he the first guy to go if the game gets out of hand? I still maintain that he is one of the first guys that will lose minutes as they ease him back in. But if he doesn't and center's thin tonight, then I think you can consider him.
By the way, the reason I'm saying I even mentioned Morris is because good luck when it comes to rostering two power forwards on this slate. And I think this is why you might see, like, we'll get to Anthony Davis in a second. We might see another Anthony Davis, like, highly owned night, because I'm still of the opinion that Davis gets higher ownership numbers than he should because power forward on FanDuel is so bad nightly that you just can't even consider. You're like, well, I can't, who, like, a Ken Burch at 18 minutes? Like, who do I even play? Like, this is like the player pool is so terrible on FanDuel for these power forward guys. That I think that's the reason that I think Davis's ownership trends a little higher than it maybe should. Anyway, we can get to him in a little bit. Brooklyn goes in and plays Orlando. Brooklyn playing well, coming off a win against the Rockets on Wednesday night. The over-under here is 216.5 with Brooklyn as slight favorites. I guess we can start on that side of the ball. Jared Allen has played a lot of minutes over the last couple games. That has not really been the trend, but he's played really well. I get the overtime. It was an overtime game against the Rockets, but he played over 30 minutes the game before that too. Our system likes him on DraftKings. Have you seen enough minutes out of him in the short term to trust? This is a worse matchup against Vucevic. The games before were Houston, who doesn't have a center, so you could keep him on the court for longer, and then at Boston, who doesn't really play with a true center in terms of Horford. Would it worry you that he is now facing an actual, you know, big offensive threat in Vooch? I consider this when I was trying to figure out where to land on his minutes, because again, 33 and 38 in regulation over the last two games. That's one guy that I want to consider, and then we can talk about some of these other Nets guys.
Yeah, hat tip to you for being a game early compared to most people and playing Jared Allen. I was pretty skeptical about playing him against Houston. He wound up being the play of the night there, obviously going for 20 and 24. I think Vooch is, like, you know, we've talked about playing guys against him in the past. He can pose some problems in that he can get you into foul trouble, which can be a consideration for Allen. But I wouldn't really be too worried about him stopping Allen from, you know, cleaning up the glass or, you know, just scoring in general. And likewise, Allen, the thing I've actually loved about his game most recently is on the defensive end. I mean, you have, in spite of having really variable minutes counts, you have to go back to, you know, December 23rd to have a game where he does not have at least one block. And in only two of those games did he have fewer than two blocks. And starting the game with 6 fantasy points is a really high floor. And again, those were games where he's playing 17, 20, 25 minutes. Like, he's, I think, a very, very legitimate, you know, 3-block-a-game guy on the defensive end if he's going to play 30-plus minutes. And I really love that, especially on FanDuel. I like Allen tonight. I think he's a solid option. It's always going to... Brooklyn, you're going to catch Allen on a night where he doesn't get the minutes, but with Brooklyn playing to push over 500, which is sort of a miracle for them right now, as one-point favorites, I don't think that's tonight. So I think Allen, a very solid option at center right now.
Yeah, the good thing for Brooklyn is they want to win. That doesn't always play itself out in terms of minutes, because if you look, even this single overtime game, you know, D'Angelo Russell still only plays 28 minutes. Kurek's only plays 30. That you get Damari Carroll and Dinwiddie, who end up playing the crunch time minutes off the bench, 35 and 32, but you can't trust that when you're making individual projections on these guys, right? So this is the only issue I have with Brooklyn, as we've seen time and time again, that you can be a day late on these guys very easily based on looking at the last two games, let's say, because the much longer track record is that the Jared Allen's minutes are 28 minutes or 27 minutes. Like, that's the thing that we probably should, I guess, is continue to buy in on, and it's just so hard. You see these recent games, and you want to believe, like, oh, now this is the thing that, you know, tips the tide and or turns the tide and tips the scales, turns the tide. You tip something, you turn something. Like that. anyway, so those are my kind of thoughts. If you want to take GBP upside plays on guys like Russell, guys like, I mean, not Trevian Graham necessarily, Joe Harris, who, you know, plays a ton of minutes and can get hot from three, go for it. It's very difficult for me to make cash game. It's very cash game cases for any of those guys, simply sure. Because I simply just don't trust it. On the Orlando side, though, we have typically wanted to roster centers against Brooklyn. Is this the time to grab Vooch? Not a guy we played a lot in the past, but I'm wondering if we see him as something of a chalk play, because we have seen opposing centers really, really dominate Brooklyn this season.
Yeah, I think that's playable. You know, anytime we're taking a center and smashing them into the Brooklyn defense, I think that's a somewhat palatable option. I guess, like, I do wonder how the DVP stats will shape up if Allen actually does slide into a 33-plus minute rotation. I believe that he's a stronger defensive option than what they've got elsewhere, but, you know, I would also assume that they know better than I do. And if he actually were, especially for, you know, just back to the basket, post-up centers like Vooch, that he would be out there. So yeah, the real question for Allen is, like, again, it's a question of whether he can stay on the floor. And if he does stay on the floor, how that would impact a guy like Vooch. Vooch also right now hovering around season peak prices. And it's kind of looks to me like his upside is just hitting value here. But I think if he can stay on the court for 35 plus minutes the way he has the last couple games. Again, with Orlando, they're another team where the blowout is half of the reason why their minutes are so crazy on a night-to-night basis. So if he stays out there, then yeah, he's another reasonable option. Center's actually, you know, for how bad power forward is, and this is just like the crime of having to play on FanDuel sometimes, is for how bad power forward is, if I could just play any of these guys at power forward, I'd feel a lot better about tonight's slate.
Oh yeah, that's why DraftKings is sometimes a little, not easier, but you tend to feel like you have some more options on DraftKings. It can end up being harder, because it's harder to parse through all the information about, like, you know, if a guy's a shooting guard or a small forward, or where to slot in that salary. It's why you really need something to optimize. But yeah, I'm with you. Like, just having the roster two power forwards and one center on a night like tonight does seem like a crime, because it does seem like there's just plenty of other, like, just decent options at center and where they just don't really exist at power forward. I was a little low on Vooch's minutes. I think he's probably more like 34 if the game stays close, 34, 35, and that will probably bump him, at least on DraftKings, probably into heavier consideration than I had him earlier on. Anyone else here on Orlando to really sink your teeth into? I have Aaron Gordon, DJ Augustine. These are guys that occasionally kind of creep up and around considerations. I'm not sure if you see it in this matchup.
Well, Aaron Gordon's a guy I could play at power forward, honestly. You know, he was flirting with averaging value on these prices recently. The minutes seem super secure, and if power forward is bad enough, he's at least a guy that should be out there for 35 plus minutes. I mean, it's been that way for six straight games, and if you zoom out over the course of the last month or so, that's been the case as well. So for a guy whose minutes were kind of coming and going more earlier this season, he seems pretty locked in, at least minutes wise. The rebounding seems to be there, which gives him more of a floor. I don't know. He's not a phenomenal option for me, but in a slate where there are just no phenomenal power forward options, he's a guy I could at least consider.
Yeah, I think I end up there. I get a little worried about Gordon just because it seems like he's so scoring dependent. I should probably look into more if that reasoning is justified or not. But that's my take on him. All right, 8 o'clock games. San Antonio goes in and plays the Timberwolves. Minnesota's a 1-point home favorite here. They're getting a little healthier. They get with Derrick Rose coming back and back in the mix. They did lose Tyus Jones, but that doesn't really matter so much, because they'll just slot Rose right back in with him. And then we have San Antonio, who's, I mean, I wrote up DeRozan because I think that DeRozan has such a high minutes floor. The scoring really hasn't been there in the short term for him at all. He's been like low teens kind of scoring, even though he's played heavier minutes. Do you think we're buying low enough on DeRozan here? Because he's had volume shooting games for sure. They just haven't really been there recently. So I'm wondering your thoughts on him, because our system, I rightfully so, likes him. These are the minutes, 40, 39, 35, 40. Well, that was an overtime game, but the double overtime game against OKC. So that was 39 in regulation. But yeah, so 40, 39, 35, 39 minutes. But points, 14, 14, 18, 16. Like, what's the truth here? Because at those minutes, the scoring really should not be this low. And I'm just wondering, is it somewhere in the middle? Because I get why our system likes him, and I'm having a little hard time stomaching it looking at the recent game log.
Yeah, DeRozan and just Spurs player in general, I feel like sometimes feel like a different ball of wax to me when trying to do evaluations, because we have seen in the past that the Spurs guys will kind of fundamentally shake things up. And it seems like probably it comes from having a really strong head coach. Like, a lot of teams, you know, a lot of teams, the players are effectively the coaches, and the coaches just decide who's out on the court. But when the actual play is happening, the players sort of dictate that. I wonder to what degree that happens with the Spurs. I'm just not totally sure. The other question I have would be, you know, how will DeRozan be affected by another high volume shooter in Rudy Gay, who's, you know, just kind of ticking up minutes right now. Gay shot 11 times in just 22 minutes last game. And if the plan is for Gay to play more minutes going forward, which I have to imagine that it probably is, then you could see DeRozan's overall usage even chipped down a little bit more. I guess, but I'm not sure, because it also sort of seems like an aberration that DeRozan's shooting is down this far in the first place, right? So
right.
If it all meets in the middle, DeRozan is probably something like a value. I don't know.
Yeah, I struggle with this one too. Like him, Aldridge, Gay. I get why our system likes basically all three of them. The Aldridge's minutes has kind of had dropped off a little bit in the short term. I don't know if that was like some rest issues coming off those OKC games, but these guys are all, at least on DraftKings, are all under 8,000. The game is supposed to stay close. They all have sort of like double potential. DeRozan not as much, but he has rebounded the position. He's averaged 7 assists and 7 boards over the last, like, even though the scoring hasn't been there, the other stuff has been there. Like, he does rebound better than he has in the past, at least when he was with Toronto. So I get it, and my guess is we're probably, without looking, I'll look real quick. I don't know. I was kind of thinking that in judging how the system likes all these guys, I was like, oh, we're probably way over on the total, but we're not. The Vegas implied total for them is 112.25, and we have them at 112.7. So basically right on the Vegas implied total. I don't know. We could end up seeing a lot of Spurs here. They're all coming in this upper middle tier, but they can exist in the upper tier above this if everything's kind of going right. This will be one I think we're going to have to look in as we get a little closer. That it's worth noting here too. This game does have a pretty high total, 225 right now. So that's the third highest of the slate, and the game's race to stay close. Anything you like on Minnesota? Our system isn't really calling out too much. It's mostly on the San Antonio side, but maybe you see something different.
Nah, right now none of these guys are showing up in cash games in Minnesota. You know, I've said it before. I've said it 1,000 times. These guys just play consistent minutes. They can play consistently high minutes, and their prices are all hovering. I mean, I'm trying to look here. I think basically all these guys are hovering near season high prices. I'm just ticking through. Yeah, I guess Teague and Rose are a little bit down, but that's mostly because they've had even higher prices based on the other one being out. But like Towns at almost 11,000. The guy averaged 47 fantasy points this season. You can't play 11,000 for a guy who averages 47 fantasy points. So right now, none of these guys are showing up in our cash game lineups.
9 o'clock game. Cleveland goes in and plays Utah. Cleveland 15-point underdogs to the Jazz.
Okay.
So congrats on the season they're having. they are just a total and complete train wreck from a team perspective. Now, but I mean, there might be something to consider here because Tristan Thompson and Larry Nance are both out. Thompson has already been ruled out for this game.
Let's go.
Ante Zizek, he played a lot of minutes off the bench. He played 27 minutes off the bench in that game that Thompson got hurt. My guess is he starts as really sort of the last remaining big man against the team that has Gobert here. I mean, I get it. We have him at like 25 minutes, and he's essentially the minimum price, and he can do stuff on a per-minute basis if he's on the court. Right now, I think he's looking like he's in 100% of cash lineups with the assumption that he starts. He's not there on FanDuel, but sure. Still close, where he's only 4,200. Again, though, we talked about this being a position that's strong elsewhere. Excuse me. It seems like there's a lot of good center plays. If he was getting the start, would you feel comfortable rolling him in cash on FanDuel? I'm not as worried about DraftKings because you can kind of slot into these other power forward center types. But would you feel comfortable running him in cash as 15-point underdogs against a great defensive team that plays slow? It seems crazy, but I kind of get why because of how little he costs.
Yeah, I think that's basically it. He's a fantasy point per minute guy. Really high volume rebounder, can score a little bit as well. Cleveland just totally out of big men options. And I think they're fully in the territory now where they're like going to lose by 15 every night anyway. So somebody just has to stand on the court and play.
Right.
And I think Zizek, what are you resting Zizek for, I guess, is my question if the game does get out of hand. So yeah, I think you can play him. The real crime, again, is that you just do have some other good power or good center options tonight. So I don't know that I feel like I have to play Zizek necessarily, but as I'm looking at other value options coming up in our lineups, at least right now, I'm just not seeing a lot jumping to the forefront. And as I scroll down, you know, our injury feed and that kind of thing, precious few injuries tonight. I mean, right now, there are only 1, 2, 3, there's only 4 games total that have someone with outstanding status that we even know about. And that's like, one of the games is Miami-Detroit, which who cares? One of the guys is Mo Bamba. Okay. And right. The other one is a couple guys on Portland, and I'm sure we'll get to that in a little bit. But like, that's no injury news for a night like tonight, right? So
yeah, there's nothing hanging out there right now. I mean,
that's crazy. That's really, really unusual for a Friday slate typically. I mean, it's only a 7-game Friday slate, but that's still very unusual. And that means we want to figure out how to get value somewhere, you know?
Yep, and I think that he's going to represent just one of the chances to do that. On the Utah side, we saw big ownership out of guys from Gobert, and Jay Crowder on DraftKings was pretty heavily owned the other night. They all did get there. Are we just in too much of a blowout risk here? It's a great matchup against Cleveland. Cleveland's just got awful, but I don't know if you think that the 15-point... I cannot believe Utah is favored by 15 points against a team. It's so nuts. Like, but here we are. Do you think that... Is this just trend into the... too much of a possible blowout territory where it's tough to go like max minutes on guys like Mitchell, Gobert? I'll throw Crowder in the mix there. I mean, these are the guys that are the fantasy guys that are worth even favors at times, worth considering. Do you think that, are we just too much in these guys aren't going to see the fourth quarter mode based on the Vegas spread?
Yeah, I don't know. It definitely seems like you're gambling at least somewhat. But, you know, some of these guys like Crowder, he was highly owned against the Clippers and put up 39 fantasy points. It's the type of game where I would just... and I've said this before, but I would love to know just what everyone else is going to do, because I'd rather not be out on a limb taking the risk by myself of the blowout risk. But I also don't want to miss it if everyone else is in on it, if that makes sense. Yep. Someone like Gobert, though, I would dismiss Gobert out of hand at 10-5. It's another one where people are just way, way, way out of control with projecting him going forward. He's not going to be a 24 rebound a game guy going forward, right? Like, nothing has actually changed. Ricky Rubio being hurt doesn't mean Gobert is like, okay, I better double down and double my rebound total. So I think that price is outrageously high, and I'll be thrilled. Every percent that I see on him tonight is one I'll be very excited to see in terms of his ownership.
Even Crowder at like 5,200, the guy still comes off the bench. I get it. He can play 30 minutes, and he's one of the more consistent bench guys there are in the league.
Scored 6 fantasy points against Detroit 2 games ago.
Right. When you just come off the bench, man, if you're going to, it's $5,000 for a bench guy is a bridge too far in almost any situation.
You basically need to be running the second unit. That's the time where I'll make an exception. Like, you know, vintage Lou Williams or Jordan Clarkson maybe, but no, you're not going to mess with just a random small forward who like might be out there to shoot. Maybe not. Like, nah, I'm not going to do that at all.
In a game that could see a decent amount of fantasy ownership here tonight, New Orleans goes in and plays the Portland. Portland 3-point favorite, the 233.5 over under right now. I mentioned Davis at the start about where, you know, we're going to end up landing with a guy like Davis, just because of the problematic issue with the power forwards on the slate and just how few there are. And this is really not where our system is seeing as a payoff. It's wanting to go a little bit more in the mid-range right now. These things can always change as we get closer to game time. But, you know, where do you land on Davis? They have Davis. They have Randall. Drew Holiday's a guy that our system really likes here, even at 8,800. The Portland perimeter defense is not all that good. Alfred Payton. It's kind of wanting to play some of these other New Orleans guys. How do you feel about that when you see those guys show up early in lineups?
Yeah, I don't hate it, to be honest. I think that, you know, again, I'm cruising through these games and seeing a ton that I just can't even stand to look at. This is a game with the second highest total on the slate with a 3-point spread. And, you know, regardless of how good a matchup these teams have been from a DFS perspective, it's something that you're going to have to consider. I mean, going the other way, New Orleans is actually just a pretty excellent DFS matchup. You know, they're a top 5 pace, bottom 5 defensive efficiency team this season, and regardless of the fact that, you know, guys have been coming and going, and I know there's some context around that, but this is a game you can't ignore, I think, on tonight's slate. And right now, I think our system is rightfully pulling out, you know, multiple guys from each team as potential cash game considerations.
I do want to be bullish on Elfrid Payton, I think. At 5,800 on FanDuel, I know he's only played like 29 minutes or so around there in the last couple games. I do think there's a game... I felt this way earlier on in the season before he got hurt. There's going to be a game where he sort of just does put it all together. Like, he double-doubles, right? Like, because he had double-digit assists last game with, you know, 8 points or something like that, and then double-digit points the game before. He has the kind of fantasy profile that can lend itself to an upside game if the ball just bounces his way. You know, two or three more times. And so at 5,800, if you think that this, if he's not going to be too compromised on the defensive end, and you think maybe he pushes like 31 minutes in a closer game, then I do actually like the price for him on FanDuel. Holiday, I feel like we're maybe a little high in his production, judging how healthy the team is getting. So I'll have to look into that one to make sure that we have like fully adjusted for guys like Mirotić back in that are going to shoot, and Payton as well. So that one, if I'm looking at something that maybe jumps off the page to me as possibly being, not incorrect, but maybe a tick too high. Holiday does seem a tick too high in our system right now. In Portland, Lillard is less than 9,000 on DraftKings. And this is just, I mean, you talked about pace matchup. But getting a guy, a volume shooter in a pace-up matchup seems like the place to be. He's in our top overall DraftKings lineup right now on a night that has all the guys from Golden State and, you know, Anthony Davis and stuff like that. Do you think 8,600 for him, Would you feel comfortable if our DraftKings lineups ended up maybe middling out with Lillard being one of the reasons possibly why?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Lillard $1,200 cheaper on DraftKings than he is on FanDuel as well, and kind of passes that. We need like a good name for this, the baseline test or something. Like, he passes the baseline test where he's paying value on that price on average, and so in a pace-up matchup against a generally poor defensive team, I think you can absolutely play Lillard there. And I actually think, you know, in the modern DFS landscape, people have become overly enamored with the big ticket items, and they get so used to it because there's just, this year in general, there's just been so much value. Am I wrong about that? Like, I feel like I don't have a recency bias on this, but I just might, I guess. I feel like there's been so, on a nightly basis, there's been a guy that's been cheap that you can play basically every night, and oftentimes three or four. And tonight, especially looking up and down DraftKings, outside of Ante Zizek, I'm really not seeing anything. So I just don't know if you're going to be able to, you know, really spend your whole wad on guys like, you know, Carl Anthony Towns or, you know, any of these Anthony Davis types. And so for that reason, I think I'm fine just middling out with really solid value options like Lillard, you know, like you mentioned, DeRozan, maybe a little too cheap right now. And then if you stack those guys up too much, you just don't have enough left over for a $12,000 player.
The rest of the program, Mo Harkless is questionable right now. He's been in and out. I don't know what we're going to get with him. He's been kind of in and out of lineups. He's been re-injuring. He's been getting re-injured as they continue to bring him back. The problem with him is you don't know on a consistent basis about who is going to get the minutes in his stead. You know, they started Lehman, and then Zach Collins comes in and plays a lot, and then sometimes Evan Turner comes in and plays. They really seem to roll this position in particular as a matchup-based one. And so just trying to figure out where those minutes are going to come from with if Harkless were to sit is not the, as I mean, unless you can disagree, it's not seem like has been the easiest thing in the world. Because just when you think it's going to be like a huge Evan Turner thing, they switch up the starting lineup. So even if Harkless was ruled out, I'd be hard pressed to go above and beyond on anyone who could possibly fill in for him. All right, let's finish this off with it's Golden State and the Clippers. Golden State is a 6-point home favorite against LA with 241.5 over under right now. The big news tonight, though, Boogie Cousins coming back and starting for the Warriors tonight. This is his first game back after the torn Achilles. He is going to enter for the first time the Golden State starting lineup. I very much doubt they have. I haven't seen a note on what the injury, or excuse me, what the minutes limit's going to be, but I can't imagine it's more than like 15.
I was going to say 15 as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I just don't see that as being anything more. The guys haven't played in a year. So, and this is like this is basically the worst injury you can have as an NBA player is the torn Achilles. Anyway, he's back though. And the system really just likes guys like Curry, Thompson, and Durant in this matchup against the Clippers. It's got the highest total. It seems like it's going to stay close. I have him basically at max minutes. I'm not willing to make Boogie eat into like any of their short-term value. Does that make sense? Like, I don't think that it makes sense to like assume that's to be the case. Give me your thoughts here on Golden State as a whole, though. Right now, we have Curry in our top FanDuel lineup, Thompson in our top DraftKings lineup, and Durant's going to end up probably sniffing around these. Would you feel comfortable stacking this side of the game?
First of all, I like picturing Durant as like the guy who's like not totally invited to the party, but kind of shows up anyway, and everyone feels so uncomfortable to ask him to leave. Like,
hey guys, can I get in this lineup too? He's like, oh, who told you heaven?
He's at the door and he's like with the group of friends. It's like kind of invited, but maybe not really. Yeah, who told Kevin exactly? I often just feel that way about these Golden State guys in general. Like I see Curry and I'm like not psyched. I'm like, ugh, do I have to play Curry tonight? What's going on here? So right. We played him against New Orleans. He threw up a very Curry-esque line of 41 points from the field, which is 52 fantasy points total. And I kind of felt like I felt kind of lucky when he did that. And I can picture doing it. You know, again, tonight's very, very thin. This game has a 6.5-point spread per Vegas right now. And as always, I don't have it pulled up. I need to get in the habit of having our bets table pulled up. By the way, in case you didn't know, part of our premium membership now includes access to what our system believes are the good overall bets for the night. And that's something that we've had a lot of fun with this season. But yeah, right now our system sees Golden State as 11-point favorites. That sounds more right to me. And I do think there is somewhat significant blowout risk here. So I wouldn't want to be overly exposed to this game. I think I could play like one or two of these guys. I think I would, in that case, probably err on the side of like Curry if I'm picking between him and Durant, and then maybe like Thompson on DraftKings where he's only 6,600. And again, I would prefer to have other guys in place if I could, but that's kind of where I'm landing on it right now.
The reason I'm comfortable landing on Curry is, like I said before, the point guard situation on FanDuel is almost, if not worse, than the power forward situation. The player pool you're looking at here, we don't have a single guy over 5 points per dollar, like I mentioned before, at point guard. And a lot of these guys are just running into terrible matchups. So it's like Jeff Teague against the Spurs. I don't trust the minutes or the production on him. Elfrid Payton, I already mentioned him. Then you have Steph is third. It's not like we have a crazy great projection on him. But to listen to the rest of these names, Shelvin Mack, Bryn Forbes, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, that guy can play 15 minutes. Lillard's only 400 cheaper or 600 cheaper than Steph. I'd much rather have Steph. Colin Sexton against Utah, no thanks. Conley against Boston, no thanks. Kyrie against Memphis, no thanks. And that's the end of the list you'd even begin to consider. Like then it gets way worse down the line. So right. I think that's where I end up. I get why Curry is showing up here. It's like we got to pick two of these guys. What the hell? Like I can't. It's like I can't pick out one. At 10-4, if he was the big money payoff, it wouldn't feel great. And I also sort of understand it, short of injury news opening up and we have some other point guard that shows up or decide to punt the position away altogether with like a Shelvin Mack or something. So, yeah, I don't know. This is one we're going to be live on Twitch tonight talking about some of these considerations. This will be definitely one we talk about. It's like, is this a place to just lock in a loser and take your zero somewhere at point guard? My guess is, if I started doing that now, that would probably end up shaking itself out with understanding that there's many hours to go. Over the Clipper side, they seem all like they're priced properly because they're a team that's been relatively healthy and they all play fairly consistent minutes, which is to say no one ever plays all that much. Would you feel okay seeing any? I'm not really seeing it from a points per hour perspective, mostly just because they've all just been priced, I think, correctly at this point.
Well, and I would say they're just overpriced and unplayable as a result. Yeah. I really feel like whoever's been running these algorithms is just sort of asleep at the wheel at this point. Like Tobias Harris hasn't been an $8,000 player since the beginning of the season, maybe. Like he's occasionally flirts with hitting 5x upside, like, but he's just a $7,000 player with an $8,000 price tag. And I'm not going to play any Clippers guys tonight.
Yep, I think I land there too. Like I said, we'll be on Twitch tonight, so go check that out. You can go get the link. We'll have it up on Twitter. We'll also have it in our premium chat room, which comes as part of our subscription. And I got a kid crying in the background, so sorry about that. DailyFantasySportsRankings.com is the site. DFSR.com/deals, which get you started on that free trial to our premium service. We covered everything we offer is under one subscription package. Go and try and find a better deal than that in the industry. Do not think you will. Buddy, talk to you on Twitch tonight. Enjoy your Friday night in basketball.
See ya.